Welcome to the Push Pull Sales and Marketing Podcast. I'm Marcello.
And I'm Sherry. And each episode will provide you with sales and marketing strategies that you can implement immediately into your own business.
All right. So we have on the podcast a best-selling author of The Energy Bus, John Gordon. And I believe you also have a new book that looks like you just released last week, you said?
Yeah, it came out actually 2 weeks ago. It was a bestseller the first week, thankfully. It was called The Power of Positive Leadership.
Oh, cool. Power of Positive Leadership. And we'll be sure to have a link to that, and we'll have a link to your website over on the show notes. So, John, for anyone who might not be familiar with you, can you tell me a little bit more about yourself, some of your background, your interests, all that good stuff?
Sure. I'm a writer, a speaker. I actually consider myself a writer first, and then I speak on what I write about. I work with a lot of leaders of companies and organizations and teams, work with a lot of Fortune 500 companies, school districts, and also sports teams. So I have a lot of NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball clients that the coaches will, you know, they'll read my books and then bring me in, speak to the team. I have two teenage children. One's a daughter. She's a freshman in college, a son who's a junior, about to be a senior, married, celebrating 20 years today.
Congrats. So, today?
Yeah. It's 20 years today. Yeah. Doing
That's
this
awesome.
Podcast.
And you're talking to me instead.
I know, my wife said, yeah, 20 years. Go ahead. Go do the podcast. So, and take out the trash while you're at it. We're going to go out later this evening. So it's been, you know, a journey, a relationship of 20 years. It's a lot of relationship grit is the key. You know, every marriage, every team, basically, there's a lot of ups and downs. And it's like, how do you stay together? So a lot of my principles actually came from marriage and parenting, believe it or not.
Really?
Which then applies to any kind of team and any kind of leadership. I mean, I really learned leadership having to raise two children. I think that's a big part of it. So anyway, that's my journey. So writer, speaker, background, business. I owned restaurants, started a nonprofit, went to Cornell University. I played lacrosse at Cornell. I've been on sports teams my whole life, then got into business after college. And I've been doing this since I was about 32, 33 years old, and now I'm 46.
Wow. Now, are you originally from New York?
Can you tell from the accent?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Jersey, so I hide it pretty well. But when I got tired, I might say like coffee or Secaucus. I'll kind of let that slide a little bit, but no, that's good.
I'm from Long Island, New York. And then, yeah, when I get fired up, the accent comes out. But other than that, a lot of people don't recognize it as much.
Gotcha. Well, awesome. And again, I was surprised, and I didn't realize that. So you also speak to professional teams. And, you know, a lot of what you do, it's definitely interrelated. You know, like, you know, if you talk about leadership and all that positive thinking and have everything in place for a professional team, it's not that different from a business, because so much now, I think, is kind of in a lot of our other speakers – are talking more about that mindset, talking more about that part than versus the actual skill set, because the skill set part, there's so much information out there. But at the end of the day, you know, you need to have all working parts together. So kind of tie that into my question here. What do people normally ask you? So someone like bumps in you and is like, hey, John, like, you know, so what do you do? Or like, what are some like common challenges that you're dealing with right now?
Well, one of the most common questions I get from, say, for instance, the leaders and coaches of teams, like a lot of basketball coaches will call me from the NBA or college, and they'll be like, hey, John, I can't get my team connected. Like, how do I get these guys to connect? I mean, even in college, for instance, they're, you know, from the AAU background, it's all about themselves. It's about their own group that they come into the college program with. And now, after being the star all these years, they have to now gel with a team. They have to become a part of a real team. And if you don't have that experience as much in high school, you now have to learn how to be a great teammate in college. So that's a big question I get on how to develop a connected team. I just worked with Dell and EMC, and they're, you know, as they merged, I worked with a lot of their leaders as they had several meetings around the world about becoming one team. So that's a big part of my work as well, is where people say, hey, how can we become united? How can we become connected? That's a big part of the power of positive leadership, where it's about you need positive leadership in order to unite people rather than divide. And so that's a big part of my work as well, where people will talk about it. And then the main part is negativity. Like, how do we overcome the negativity that we have on our team, in our organization? That's my expertise there as well.
Gotcha. Now, in one of your books, you talked about it, obviously, you know, about no energy vampires allowed. And again, you know, kind of reading the book, I was kind of curious too. When do you make that decision? Like, how easily can you say, like, all right, well, this person is going to be out of the organization, or I'm not going to keep them involved in projects? Or like, how much time do you give somebody to kind of turn things around? So when you set up that vision, when you get people on your bus and you decide, hey, this person is a negative influence, like, how much time do you give that person? Like, what do you do?
That's a really great question. It was something that came up after riding the energy bus that you're talking about, because it just said no energy vampires allowed. So for 10 years, I've been getting those questions in audiences and Q&As and so forth. So in the Power of Positive Leadership, I actually addressed that question and wrote all about it. And first and foremost, you first have to identify negativity on a team and an organization. Most leaders make the mistake of not dealing with negativity in the first place. They just allow it to exist and persist, and then eventually sabotages the team. So first identify it, then you confront it. So you deal with it head on and you address that person in a positive way, though. Here's the key. You must address it in a positive way. Don't be negative about negativity. A lot of people have taken the energy bus and now used it with their teams and organizations to say, you're either on my bus or you're off my bus. Yeah. And they're real negative about it. So then I get the emails from people that says, hey, my boss is an energy vampire, and they gave us your book. Like, what do I do?
That's funny.
And you can see those reviews on Amazon that say, like, okay, I hate this book, I hate my boss, and now I hate the author for having written it. You know, they hate me for writing it. Because
I love
their boss.
The book. Wow, people said that.
Yeah, because their boss, like, made him read it. They had to read it for work. Their boss is negative, even though they're trying to bring about positive change, and it doesn't work. So as a leader, you have to make sure that you're leading in a positive way. You have to be a positive leader. And when you are, you can then bring others towards you. So now we move to transform. You identify, you confront, then you try to transform. So you do so in a loving, empathetic way. You try to help that person, engage that person. I had one executive in his office had a sign that said, no energy vampires allowed. But then, you know, and then he had another one that said, energy vampires welcome, expect to be transformed. And so it was like, okay,
like,
so come and I will help you transform and I will work with you. And we've had a lot of success stories that way. But let's face it, as you said, not everyone is going to get on the bus. So what do you do with the person who doesn't get on the bus, who's not going to be positive no matter what you do? At that point, you have to let that person off the bus. Now, how long? I can't say. And in the book I wrote, there's no perfect formula. There's no scientific recipe. What you have to do is use your gut, give that person a chance, give them a framework of what they need to do, a plan. If they're not willing to change, if you know that they just hate their job, if you know that they really need to be somewhere else, then you got to let them off the bus.
Okay. Man, good stuff. And I was like, when I was reading that too, I was thinking that. Now, one thing, again, in writing this book, and obviously I'm gonna get the more recent book too. Did you write it specifically that way? Again, someone complaining about reading the energy bus, and again, for anyone who hasn't read it, it's very easy to digest. I mean, it's a very, very quick read. Like, I bought that book on Saturday at like 5 o'clock. I was done reading it by, you know, I read it like a little bit that day, and I was done like next morning. Like, you can knock that book out in a day and you don't feel bad about it. Like, there's times when you, like, when, you know, of all the business books that I've read in the past year, that one was the easiest to go through and to really digest. And you kind of feel good about yourself with it. Like, did you go through a lot of rewrites? Did you do that intentionally? Or how did you end up with that kind of finished product? Because when you think business book, you think, you know, it's a little bit more academic. You know,
right,
there's a lot
right.
more like examples. And this is written completely different than any other business. Well, not any, but most business books out there. Was that the ideal formula that you had? Or how'd you end up
like
with
it? Yeah, it's like a Who Moved My Cheese or a One Minute Manager with a little more depth to the characters, with a little more, you know, nuances. But I wrote it actually, to be honest, in 3.5 weeks. So it was really just inspired writing, where every day I went to my home office and I just wrote this book. This was in 2006. Many people are just discovering the book now because it seems very new in many ways. It took it 5 years for it to become a bestseller. So it didn't become a bestseller for years, and now it's sold over 1 million copies. So all these people are – and just selling more now than ever. So people are actually discovering the book now just as you are, which is exciting for me because something I wrote years ago is actually now – it was ahead of its time, and now it's really in its time with all the negativity that's going on and all the positive leadership that's necessary for leaders and teams to use to move forward. So I didn't purposely write it that way. I just wrote it the way – I was inspired to write it the way I would want to read a book. And then when I was done with it, took it to an agent. She brought it to 30 publishers, rejected by all of them. And then John Wiley and Sons agreed to take it on, not knowing how it was going to do. They said, we can't give you a big advance. I said, I don't care. I just want a book that's going to get out there. And so it's been a fun journey with this book. But you're right. Everyone says it's very simple, but yet there's a very poignant message if you're looking for it. Now, a lot of people think, oh, this book's so simple. And there are some that give it bad reviews because they don't get the simplicity of it. They don't realize it's meant to be simple and provide action. So that's how I've gone to work with all these sports teams, because the coach will read it and then they'll give it to their team to read, and then I speak to the team. So I work with Clemson for the past 5 years. Dabo had his team read it. Work with the Atlanta Falcons for 7 years. Mike Smith had his team read it the first year when Matt Ryan was a rookie. Work with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2007 when it just came out. Jack Del Rio used it with his team, turned around the team, and they went 11-5, made the playoffs that year. Work with the Miami Heat this year, Oklahoma City Thunder this year, Pirates, Padres, Dodgers, and Arizona Diamondbacks this year. So I've had the opportunity to now work with all these different teams where the coaches will read that book and then share it. But I've also written like the Carpenter training camp, which a lot of coaches use Carpenter and training camp, and a lot of teams use that. So again, it's really about simplicity, but then helping people take action.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you can tell, and I'm going to put some pressure on them. I don't think Rutgers football has read this book at all.
Rutgers, no, the new quarterback going in, Kyle Boland, great guy from Louisville. He's a transfer there.
Yeah.
And I met him when I was at Louisville speaking. He was there. Great young guy. I hope he does well at Rutgers. I'll be rooting for him. He's an energy bus kind of guy.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So in terms of if I'm the head football coach, or I'm the wrestling coach or whatever, Rutgers, why would I bring you on versus somebody else? What would be the difference in terms of, because I have limited resources. I have other stuff available. Why focus on positive thinking? Why focus on the actual team part when maybe I can just have a motivational speaker come in? What separates you?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I mean, I think there's a lot of great people doing this work. I just know that a lot of coaches bring me in because I'm able to connect with the coach and the team. I share principles. It's not motivation rah-rah. It's actually principles that allow them to use throughout the season that last. And so it really helps get results. But I got to be honest. I mean, I think a talk is a talk. It doesn't last as long as a book would. What I have found is the teams that have the greatest success that I've worked with over the years, they actually give the players the book. The players read the book. They internalize the story, so it becomes a part of their perspective and their mindset. So it shifts and it creates an awakening within them. It's hard to explain. The New Energy Vampires, when Mark Richt used it at Georgia, that year, they lost their first two games, could have hung it up, but then won the next 10 in a row and it made it to the SEC championship. So, Butch Jones used it at Tennessee. Tough beginning, but then the team wrote it out, stayed connected, and wound up having a great end of the year, made the bowl game for the first time in years. But I often say, it's not me, and it's really not even a book. It's the leader. The leader is the one that drives the bus. So I'm only as good as the leader that actually leads their team and moves them in the right direction. I just provide the tools. And what I believe is I provide probably some of the best tools available for leaders to use because they're simple, they're comprehensive, they're based on truth, and they allow a team and a coach to really take action, and it sticks. It's very sticky, so it lasts throughout the season. So again, there's a lot of great people doing what they do, but that's why they bring me in, because it does produce results.
Yeah, and one thing you bring up too, and some of our other speakers, I think Anthony Iannarino brought that up too, in terms of how to not make this the whole day after training. Because if you bring in somebody, you bring in a concept, and it's like, yeah, that's a great idea, we're going to be accountable, or yeah, we're going to use this sales process, and then 2 weeks later, wait, what were we going to do? the big thing you mentioned, and then same thing that also Anthony mentioned, it's making sure that you have the leader. You have the guy who's driving the bus who's definitely behind it. Because there are obviously people out there who would just say, like, all right, let me bring in John. I'll see you later. I'll come back in a couple hours. You know, so obviously having that in place. So in terms of all years of experience and everything that you've been doing lately, what would you say would be an example of something that maybe a team, or it's probably hard to narrow it down to one thing, but what would you say that you're most proud of, like result wise? Like you came in, you gave them the tools, and this was the end result, or what would you say something again like that really sticks out in your career?
You know, Gallagher Bassett is a company, an insurance company that used the Energy Bus for their culture and their company, and just had a big impact. So that's something I'm really proud of. Mm-hmm. UPS in the Northwest region rolled the Energy Bus out to their 1,000 leaders, okay, and then used it to improve morale with the drivers of that region. And they measured it. So it's the first time I had a company actually measure the results. Yeah. And that was, you know, an incredible turnaround. But, you know, those are all exciting. But I would say Clemson football, yeah, you know, watching them, working them for the past 5 years, and then being on the field with that team when they won the national championship.
You were there.
Yeah, I was there.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm real close with them. And to see, you know, Dabo's leadership, I wrote a lot about him in the new Power Positive Leadership book because he's an incredible positive leader and what he does and how he does it. So that was really rewarding to see this team go through all their challenges and ultimately win a championship. And I don't take 1 ounce of credit for it, but it's exciting that my principles, you know, were used on that team over the past number of years.
Gotcha. Now, do you focus in terms of what you're doing also on creating like a culture of having more leaders, or does it really have to be where you have like one or two key people? Like, let's say you have like a team that's struggling and the manager or the leader's on board, and they want to get more leaders too. Does one person really need to kind of grab the reins of this, implement this, or does everyone in that organization kind of need to take full ownership to kind of really make the most effect out of this?
Well, you need to have one, I think, key driver. There's okay. one driver. We call it driver of positive change. We actually have a training program okay. where we teach people to become drivers of positive change. But a driver of positive change develops more drivers within their team. Mm-hmm. I often say you can give a team a bus, but unless you have drivers driving it, the bus doesn't move. So you need drivers within your team. Like just like you said, you need leaders that are leading the way, building the culture. So I'm a big believer in leadership development. And when I, like Nebraska, for instance, and West Point has brought me in to speak to all of the athletes and all of the coaches. And my whole point is that, yeah, everyone's a leader and everyone could be a leader on the team. Because here's the deal. You influence the people around you. So whether it's two or three people that you influence around you, you are a leader. If you're a freshman, you're still a leader and you can still lead by loving, serving, and caring. And if you do those three things, you'll exponentially grow your leadership. That's the carpenter.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. And caveat here, we ask every guest who we have on the show, if you had to give a recommendation to our listeners, could be a book, could be a podcast, could be a resource, could be a tool, an app, whatever, excluding your own, what would you recommend?
You know, there's so many great resources and tools. I love the book by John Ortberg called Soul Keeping. I think that's
Soul Keeping. Okay.
Yeah, Soul Keeping is a powerful book. Erwin McManus. I would check out Erwin mm-hmm. McManus.
Yeah.
He's out in LA. He is one of the most brilliant, incredible speakers of all time. He's a pastor, but he's very involved in the marketplace and business and, you know, just incredible speaker on just life and incredible wisdom. I listen to his messages every week. And he's an amazing speaker. And I would say podcast, you know, obviously yours is awesome. And I also love, you know, I love listening to Michael Gervais, which is the Finding Mastery podcast. It's
Finding
pretty
Mastery.
Strong.
Okay.
Yeah, Finding Mastery is pretty strong. And then Entre Leader with Ken Coleman and Dave Ramsey.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So let's just say, John, I like what I hear. I like your book. I like your books, plural. I want to bring you into my organization. I want to bring you to my team. How do people find you? I mean, is that Twitter, LinkedIn, your website?
Like everyone else today, right? All of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah, johngordon.com is where you find, you know, centrally, johngordon.com. Right. Facebook, John Gordon page is my fan page. I hate that term fan page, right? I like to go, like, I have fans and I don't like that term. But Twitter is at JONGordon11. Okay. Instagram, same thing, at JONGordon11. Isn't it funny though? You know, it's funny. I'm getting a lot of people like reaching out about speaking and so forth now on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. I'm like, hey, can you email us at blah, blah, blah? You know, it's like, that's where you should still do business, I believe. But it's funny how more and more are starting to just use these channels. Don't even go to your website now, which I find interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it so much easier, and people like they're just so connected, and it's harder to ignore that. Like when somebody like messages like us, like on our Facebook, it comes up as that pop up thing. You got the little thing in the corner that like the DM. It's harder to ignore. So maybe, I'm guessing people have realized that, and they're like, all right, well, I'm gonna get the attention here because there's not many people playing in that field versus, you know, emails. We get hundreds of emails a day.
Right now, I do try to respond to those people, but I don't check it as often. So if you don't respond to them, you don't want those people to think you're ignoring them. So it's like, hey, send an email because someone from my team, like I handle my own Facebook, but someone from my team, you know, checks, you know, is there to help with email. You know, email if anyone needs to a call back. You know, they're there calling people back.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And your team was very, very quick. I connected through email. All right, cool. All right, so final thoughts, John. Anything else you want to share for our listeners? Any kind of nuggets of wisdom, anything like that?
Sure. I just love to share just a little story. I think it's important. When my daughter wrote her college essay last year, it started like this. When I was young, my mom struggled with her health and my dad struggled with himself. She said, I watched my dad as he worked to become a more positive person. And as he did, he started then writing and speaking and started sharing this message with others. And I believe that if he can change and other people have been changed by his message, I believe the world can change. And the truth is, that was my story. You know, I went from negative to positive. That's the first chapter in the power of positive leadership, that I'm not naturally positive, that I got to work at this. And so, but what I found is that just by changing me, I had the impact, a greater impact on the people around me. So I want to leave people with, as you work to become a more positive leader yourself, you not only make yourself better, but you make everyone around you better. And I think that's a great place to start with your life.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, again, we have John Gordon, best-selling author. Recent book is called The Power of Positive Leadership, correct?
Yes, The Power of Positive Leadership.
Power of Positive Leadership. Well, awesome. Again, appreciate having you on the show. And again, have a good one, man.
Thanks so much. Here's to New Jersey.
Yeah, absolutely.